Well, good afternoon, everyone. The Lukers are still in Australia, so they'll be coming back Monday evening. So they're one of the stragglers they were talking about. Hope everyone had a good feast. I know we did. It was a great feast down in Bend. So hopefully it was that way wherever you were as well. Every year we observe the holy days and go through the plan that God has for mankind. Last week we observed the last great day, which is the last of the annual holy days. And then starting in the spring we'll start all over again and go through them once again, which is God's plan for mankind. So last week was the last great day. But what happens after the last great day? Here we are 1 week beyond the last great day. So the title of my sermonette is Beyond the Last Great Day. After God's plan for mankind is done, and there are no more humans, it will just be us as born sons of God. And we'll be living a spirit life. The adjective most often used to describe spirit life is joy. Joy is what's most often used. Let's turn to Psalm 16, verse 11. This is kind of a summation. Psalm 16 and verse 11. Just to set the stage here. It says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore." So as a spirit being, we can expect to have a joyful and a pleasurable existence. Let's turn to Revelation 21. It's hard to imagine, you know, living the life that we live, what it will be like to be a spirit being. But after we are in the family of God and are born sons of God, in Revelation 21, it talks about what's going to happen. In Revelation 20, probably most of us went through that wherever we were on the last great day, talking about the second resurrection and the end of the plan for mankind. And going right on in chapter 21, it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." So we're living in the days that are part of these former things that are going to be passed away. There will be no more death because there will be no more humans. Verse 5, "And he that sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these things are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." And verse 7, "He that overcomes will inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." So here just plainly he says that we will be God's sons. In verse 9, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come here, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, And her light was likened to a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a great wall, a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. Then if you drop down to verse 21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every gate was one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb was the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no light there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. So it's starting to talk about, you know, where it is that we'll be living. It says, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatsoever works abomination or makes a lie, but only those that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So the only ones allowed in are the ones who are written in the Book of Life. And let's read a few more verses here. Going on in chapter 22, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there were no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. So we're going to reign in this way forever and ever. Then in verse 12, he said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. So here we've read quite a few scriptures that happen after the last great day. And it shows that we are going to have spirit life and that we will reign and live with God forever. That we have the Father and Son relationship, and also those of us that are in the first resurrection also have a headquarters type relationship as the bride of Christ. But what will we do? You know, forever and ever is a long time. So what will we be doing? In John 5, verse 17, we don't need to turn there, but Jesus Christ said that his Father worked and that he worked as well. And then in Revelation 21 and verse 5, it says, he that sat on the throne, which would be God the Father, said, behold, I make all things new. So it's like, okay, we have a new project here. So there's going to be a lot to do. God is the creator. So we're going to make all things new. It's going to be an interesting time, a very, very interesting time. And it's hard to imagine making all things new, but we're going to have a tremendous amount to do. It's going to be a wonderful working relationship and a working environment. You know, today we work in a world that's filled with competition. You know, in the world tomorrow, even on a physical level, I think it'll be interesting what isn't there that we just take for granted now. But I know in this world we live in a competitive environment work-wise. And at that time, there will be no competition, no office politics, and there'll be tremendous job satisfaction. You know, when God finished the original creation of the earth, he looked around and he said, "It's very good." That must have been a great feeling, to create all of what we see around us and then to say, you know, it was very good before Satan's rebellion. I got two mics now. So when God makes all things new, he will use his family to make that happen. So we'll have a tremendous job to do. And I'm not exactly sure what, you know, how time factors into that in a spiritual creation. But we'll have forever and ever, you know, of satisfying work to do. So what happens after the last great day? Death is swallowed up in victory. We're given spiritual bodies that will never tire, and then we'll be given a tremendous job to do, to create all things new. It'll be a life of satisfying accomplishment in one of the best environments that we can imagine. So it's something that's worth looking forward to. It's worth putting up with whatever we have to put up with today to be there in God's kingdom forever.